Welcome to the Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're growing a brand around your nerdy passion, you can learn from business and marketing podcasts, or you can learn from nerds like you. This is the show built by bloggers, cosplayers, gamers, artists, and other entrepreneurs that are making the things you love. How's it going, entrepreneurs? Welcome to episode 56 of the Entrepreneur Podcast by Under the Capes. I'm Tim Lutie. It's July 1st, 2019. There are 16 days until San Diego Comic-Con, and I am definitely in the con crunch right now. I'm putting together a Doctor Doom cosplay that I'll be wearing on the Thursday of the convention. And there's still a lot of work to be done for that. Sharing some of that progress on Instagram at Under the Capes Cosplay. But I always leave it to the last minute. And I always try to start it like 6 months ahead of time. And I leave about 90% of it until the last month. So that's, I'm in that 90% now. Other preparations for San Diego, you know, figuring out the panels, getting the offsites, planning the parties at night. There's a lot that goes into going to San Diego Comic-Con for those who haven't gone or for those who are in the middle of their planning stages right now and do know. And one of the best resources to plan your San Diego Comic-Con is the San Diego Comic-Con unofficial blog. And my guest this week is Kerry Dixon, editor-in-chief of the San Diego Comic-Con unofficial blog. And the SDCC blog provides all kinds of information for coverage of the panels that'll be happening, the exclusives that you can buy, the offsites, the parties, and gives you all the resources to plan your trip to Comic-Con. It provides coverage throughout the con and is just a great resource. And they also have the SD Concast, which is a usually weekly live show, and it's later released in podcast format that goes through, they have some great guests on that talk about different things coming to Comic-Con, and they break down the weekly news, and another great resource. And Kerry and James Riley, co-host that show. And Kerry and I talk about a lot of great stuff about how they run the San Diego Comic-Con unofficial blog. We talk about how they get the information to the audience in as timely and as easy a format as possible. We talk about how they organize news at the convention, and they're organizing PacyCon this year on the Sunday of the convention, which is an event they're throwing. They do giveaways and prizes throughout the convention with their Adventures of the Prize Mule. So how they organize all of that. And we talk about a lot of other things. It's a great discussion, so let's dive right on in. All right, I'm now joined by Kerry Dixon from the unofficial San Diego Comic-Con blog. Kerry, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Tim. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the SDCC blog and what your role there is?
Sure. So I am the editor-in-chief of San Diego Comic-Con unofficial blog. It was founded in 2009 by a gentleman named Zach Young. He only stayed on for like a year or two, and then a gentleman named Jeremy Rutz took it over. I joined in 2012 or 13. One of those, and I became the editor in, I want to say, 2014, and it's been mine ever since. And for anyone who doesn't know, we basically just cover everything there is to cover about San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, so you cover, you know, how to find panels, what offsites to look at, you know, different
exclusives,
lines.
Exclusives, yep, all of that. Literally, if there is something happening at Comic-Con, we probably cover it.
And it seemed like 2009 was the perfect time to get started, because that's when it really started to get bigger and more complex and probably more daunting for people to navigate without something like you.
Oh, absolutely. Like, every year I see people at Comic-Con who just have no earthly idea what's going on. It's just, it's not a show that you can just show up unprepared for. You know? I mean, I've talked to people before who've been like, I went one year and I had no idea what was happening, and I literally just spent 4 days wandering Artist Alley because I had no idea what to do. So we try to make the experience less confusing. We try to help people plan. We try to give tips. We basically try to make the experience easier to navigate.
Yeah, because I think there are some conventions that you can kind of, like, the first time out, just wander around and soak in the scene. And that's not quite San Diego Comic-Con. Like, you could do it, but you'd miss a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And look, as a type A personality, I like to plan. I like to know what my options are. I like to be informed. And as it turns out, so do an awful lot of people who attend Comic-Con.
Yeah, I think most of the people I talk to are kind of like they'll have their spreadsheet and they'll have the plan. And it seems like you do have articles that are like, you know, just the, like, that one article a first timer could read and you know, get started. But you do really cater to the people that have their documents when they're coming to the convention.
Yep. Yes, it is definitely not just me with a spreadsheet. I would say it's the vast majority of folks going. But we try as well to help out, like, new people. We get asked all the time, like, what, as a new person, what should I do, what's there to do? We try to answer all those kind of questions too. So we try to cater to, like, the range of attendees.
Yeah, so how have you evolved over the years as far as kind of seeing what people, what information people need and how they want it delivered to them? And as the convention got more and more complicated, you had to get more and more comprehensive without being overwhelming?
I mean, that's a very good question. Truthfully, though, I actually feel like we are doing an awful lot of the exact same things that we were doing when I came on in 2012 or 2013. It's just that we do more of it. So, like, we've always covered exclusives. We've always covered offsites. It's just the longer we've done this, like, first of all, there's more that's happening. More people bring exclusives. More people do offsites. People, I feel like, announce their panels earlier and earlier. It's just, like I said, it's more the scope of it has changed, whereas what we've actually done has not necessarily changed. But it's definitely a much larger workload than it used to be.
Yeah, for sure. And you've definitely experimented with delivering the news in different formats, at least. You know, Twitter is a big one that, you know, kind of for the by-the-minute stuff. And you also have the STCC XD Concast, the blog, the events calendar. So there are, you've experimented with a lot of different ways to deliver the information.
We have. I mean, our whole goal is, again, it's just to be beneficial to the attendees. Like, we make no money off this. We're not in it for us. We're in it to try to make people's experiences better. And we know that people are on different platforms, that they like their news in different ways. So we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Obviously, we have the website. We even do a newsletter that we send out every once in a blue moon. So we try to make the Comic-Con experience easier.
Yep, absolutely. And have you tailored things based on how those perform? Like, do you kind of know, you know, Twitter's more successful than Facebook, so let's make sure we're posting twice as much on there? I'm sure it's probably more like 10 times as much with the way those two work, but is that something that you've been that you've noticed at all?
Yeah, I feel like we're cognizant of that. I mean, I think truthfully as well, though, probably all of us on the site are also just in general bigger Twitter users than we are Facebook users. So I think that there's a natural inclination to use Twitter more, but it's easier to talk to people on Twitter. It's easier to do breaking news on Twitter. Facebook is great. But I definitely do agree. Twitter is where we definitely have the biggest presence, and it's where we post the most. But there's nothing wrong with any of those platforms.
And then for the other mediums, kind of the SD Concast, it seems like a great way to get feedback from people doing the live streams. What was the process there as far as choosing to make it a live stream situation and then choosing then to post it later as just a podcast format? What was...
When it originally launched, it was actually just a podcast, just audio only, no video. And then I think in 2013, they decided to do video. And I'm not entirely certain, actually, why we've never switched back. I think it's just kind of fun. I mean, I think people like getting to actually watch. I hate saying like people like to watch us, but I think people like to get to know the people behind the website. It's always me and my co-host James Riley. And then we usually have a third person on from the site as well, whether that's Kim Twombly from Outside Comic-Con or Andy Wagner, who does a lot of our quote unquote under the tent section, which is like smaller news. But it's just a fun, we like video. We also have guests on a lot, so it's nice sometimes to get to see video of the guests. But we try to make it as interactive as we can. We've been doing the podcast now for several years, and we've got a lot of people who listen all the time, and we love that. So it's a nice little way to get to interact with people.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the video format is a little more fun for you guys, and you do get good numbers of people listening live, so that's got to reaffirm that it's something worth keeping up with.
Yeah, and we always do like a live show as well during badge sales, which is obviously not something you could record and then air later, and people seem to get a lot out of those are actually our most watched podcasts. Beyond our, we break down the panel schedule, the programming schedule at Comic-Con every year, but we like the podcast. We like doing it. And it's always fun for us too at Comic-Con, because I feel like a lot more of our readers then recognize us and come up to us, and we get to talk to readers that way.
Yeah, it definitely makes you a little more known at the conventions. And especially, like you were saying, it's you and James and one other blog member. So you have done a great job of making the team known with like Adventures of Prize Mule, everyone has a prize mule, like kind of getting the team known and letting viewers get to know your personalities, which I think is important.
I think so too. And when Prize Mule first started out, it was actually me and our graphic design artist, Sarah, literally just goofing around. And then I think after 2 years of us doing that, we decided we wanted to get the whole team involved, because there are people on our team who don't come onto the podcast, who don't necessarily want their face front and center, but Prize Mule is a fun little thing that they can do so that they definitely feel like they're part of our social media experience during the convention and they get to meet our readers, but they also don't have to put their face all over everything. And truthfully, the entire reason that Prize Mule even became a mule was because after the first year of my graphic design artist and I doing it, she wasn't going to be back the next year. And I said, no way am I posting photos online of me all over the convention. So I'm going to buy this stuffed unicorn and we're going to use that as the marker.
It's just something to show, and it happened to be a unicorn.
Yep. But with a unicorn, it's not quite a mule, but we ignore that.
But it is impressive during the con, because in addition to Adventure Surprise Mule, where you're doing giveaways, like it seems like every hour or so. I don't know what your goal for the timing is, but then you're also constantly updating social. You're doing, you know, feedback from panels, and you're the amount of content you're able to create during the convention is very impressive.
Thank you. That's kind of our goal. We decided long ago that what attendees actually want during the convention is not news articles up on our site. It's live updates with what's going on at the convention. Like, you don't have time to sit there and read like a 6-paragraph article. You just want like 2 sentences, a photo, like, tell me what's going on. So basically, usually late Tuesday night, right before San Diego Comic-Con happens, we put up what I call the out-of-office post on our website, which is basically, here's live updates, and it's literally just a link to our Twitter feed. And for the whole rest of the convention, it's me, and usually I'm the main one on our Twitter, but during the convention, we're all on the Twitter. And it's so fun that way, because we have a relatively large staff, and we're all into different things. So that's kind of why it feels like we're literally everywhere, is because we don't all go to the same things. We're not all into the same stuff. So we can cover just the gamut of San Diego Comic-Con. And we don't have a schedule for prize meal. I tell my staff, you just do it when you have time, like whatever works for you. And so I feel like it still feels like it's going on constantly throughout the convention.
Yeah. How do you coordinate those roles? Cause it is interesting. Like you said, you guys are able to spread out all over the convention, but it doesn't seem like you're assigning like, all right, like you got to do ballroom 20 today. Like we need someone. It does seem like everyone's going to what they want to go to. And it just happens to be cover all the main things.
I mean, that's literally what it is, though. And when I took over, I decided that the way to cover Comic-Con is truly, again, because we're all into different things, is to just cover what we're into. Like, we've got people who are super into offsites. We've got people who are super into exclusives in the show floor. We've got people who are super into panels. We've got people who prefer Ballroom 20 over Hall H. And so just by everyone basically covering what it is they want to do with the convention, we wind up with a well-rounded social media experience, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's great, because there's definitely finding the balance at conventions of like enjoying the con, because that's the whole reason you probably started going to San Diego Comic-Con and, you know, got involved with the blog, but then also like promoting the blog and providing news without detracting from your own vacation, really.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, Comic-Con is absolutely still work for us, but again, it's work that we're not necessarily getting paid to do. So we try to have fun. We try to make sure that we cover the convention as well. But I think also doing everything on social media instead of actually on the blog makes it so much easier to cover live. Like, not only is it actually a better experience for our readers, but it's also easier on us. It, like, you get so much more information out of it. I think that's just worked out incredibly well for us, so I'm happy with that. Quite frankly, I'm happy not posting a link to our site at all during the 4.5 days of the convention. So
awesome. And yeah, the other thing that's been cool to see over the years is you experiment with the live events at the show. Like this year you're doing PacyCon again.
Yeah, we've done events since 2014, 2013. Again, I'm very fuzzy on years. But we started out doing Enchantment under the SDCC was our first event for a couple years. We did that at Henry's, and then we bounced around to a couple different venues. And then it slowly got bigger and bigger to the point where the last year that we threw like full on Enchantment, we got to the venue at, I don't know, probably like noon. And we had about maybe 150 moving boxes to unpack before doors opened at 6 p.m. And again, it's just me and my team. And we were like, maybe we've overextended ourselves a little bit here. So I think people had an amazing time at that party. But I think we realized pretty quickly this is a lot of work on top of what we're already doing. And as much fun as it is, we also didn't really have time to talk to our readers anymore at the party. So following that, we started way scaling down until for the last 2 years, it's basically been like a show up, come talk to us. Like, we're not giving away anything except buttons. Just come hang out. And so this year we are doing slightly more. We are doing an event called PaceyCon, which I think about 10 people on the internet actually understand. But basically, Joshua Jackson back in 2010 showed up and pretended Comic-Con was PaceyCon from Dawson's Creek, which is a joke that we've thought is hilarious for years and years. And usually if something makes us laugh, we'll make it a reality. So we decided this year we were doing PaceyCon. So it's going to be at the Dubliner in San Diego on Sunday night from 6 p.m. until at least 8 p.m. We'll probably stay later. And we're going to do a trivia contest, a coloring contest. And again, we'll just be hanging out there. So if you were looking for something to do on Sunday night, we are the only Comic-Con after party that's after Comic-Con. So come see us.
Yeah, that's usually when everything's closing down, so you guys will be the last game in town.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done it Wednesday night every other year. So it's funny, this will actually be my first time to go back to preview night in something like 6 years. So.
And yeah, it's definitely, it seems like people like those parties, but the like we were saying, when it was a much bigger production, you don't want it to take away from what you really do, which is the news side of things. Like, you're not an event organizing company. So
no.
If that takes away from your actual blog, then that it's kind of.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it wound up being. And basically what we did was we used to give away, like, I don't even want to imagine how much money and stuff we gave away at the old parties. Mattel 1 year sent us something like 30 pallets, not boxes, pallets of things to give away. We used to give away an insane amount of stuff at that. So basically what we've done is all those companies that used to donate, we've said, okay, we still want stuff. We want a little bit less, and we'll spread that out throughout the week with prize meal. So we still give away stuff. We still work with awesome companies. We still have our meetup. If you just want to come say hi, or this year, I guess, answer Dawson's Creek trivia questions. But yeah.
Yeah, and what have been the most successful ways that you've promoted the blog? As far as, has it been like at the convention is where the word is spread, or is it really on Twitter throughout the year, or what's been the process there?
I mean, Comic-Con is absolutely when we grow the most, which makes sense. Like, we are, if there is a definition of a seasonal website, like, we are it. But I feel like it's everything that we do. It's everything we do leading up to the convention. For us, we always say that Comic-Con news season starts May 1st. It really ramps up June 1st. And then it just gets increasingly more insane all the way up through the convention. As for how we promoted ourselves, I don't feel like we necessarily do promote ourselves that much. We try to just do good work. We try to just do the best that we can and cover the event. I do think that Prize Mule has maybe helped, or maybe I just love Prize Mule. But.
Yeah, and I definitely think it helps that a lot of other sites and a lot of other people, like if any of my friends want to know, like, coming to Comic-Con, like, first order of business is you have to follow the SDCC blog to get all the news. Like, you've kind of made yourself that trusted source that people can refer you to.
Yeah, and again, I think that just comes from, we do good work. Like, that's truly all we're trying to do here. Again, like, I don't want to be internet famous. I don't. There are way more things I could do to make a whole lot more money than what I'm doing. But we love Comic-Con. We love what we do. And we love our readers. So we just try to make the best product that we can. We try to put out as much news as we can. And for us, sometimes it's almost more fun to cover the smaller stuff, because like Hasbro and Mattel, they don't need us. Like, they're going to have a line at their booth either way. But for the little bitty artists over in Artist Alley, we hear every single year from so many people who say, like, because you guys covered my stuff, like, I had a line. People came and talked to me and told me they heard about me from you guys. We love stuff like that. So it's nice to feel like we're making a difference for at least some people at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, like you said, you're definitely a seasonal business.
Yes.
But you do spend the off season, it seems, in hopefully mostly unwinding, but then you spend some of it improving things. Like this last year, you developed the new calendar for the site. Like, is there stuff that you're kind of making a list of to improve in the off season, or is it mostly like let's you know, rest for 8 months?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, stuff comes up now and we're just like, oh, but this is not the time to deal with that. We'll deal with that in the off season. It's mostly like boring behind the scenes website stuff. But we absolutely do talk about that stuff. And we're very aware that we have way more time as soon as Comic-Con is over to start making improvements and start making changes.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, do you have any future plans for the next year or 5 years or down the line?
I am usually very happy when I just try to get through every day. Yeah. I basically have a list, a to-do list to do for that day, and that's as far ahead as I can plan right now.
Yeah, now's the time to just get through the next month and a half.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, yeah, this has been great, Carrie. Do you have one final piece of advice for someone just starting out building their own geek brand?
I think again, I come from the world of like geek journalism. So I think it's very important to have your own voice. I think it's very important to source. I think it's very important to make sure that the information that you are putting out is as accurate as it can be. But beyond that, just try to have fun with it. You know, like, I mean, there are absolutely days when I want, like, when the news is going crazy, there are days, quite frankly, when I want to sit under my desk and cry. But the other 99% of the time, like, we have so much fun. We love what we do. So I would say just make sure that no matter what, you still find the joy in doing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities where you can kind of be like, you know, this is a pretty good side hustle. As far as side hustles go, well chosen. Yeah, well, awesome. This has been great, Carrie. Where can people find more of your stuff on the internet?
So you can find the blog at sdccblog.com, and our Twitter is sd_comic_con. You can find me personally on Twitter at Carrie Dixon with a K. And that's really about it.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
There you have it, guys. My talk with Carrie Dixon from the San Diego Comic-Con unofficial blog. Yeah, really, really great talk. And I was, as a fan of the SDCC blog for many years, it was great to get a peek behind the curtain because they've just been a huge resource as I plan my Comic-Cons. I loved a lot of the stuff that Carrie talked about here, especially how they do stress, you know, making sure it's still fun for everyone. Like when they cover the con, their team is able to still see everything they want to see while also providing live coverage throughout it. And they're, you know, focusing on the things that are most important to them, like, you know, dialing back their Too Blog Too Furious and the Enchantment Under the SDCC events, because those were just too much and they were kind of a distraction. And yeah, I think no matter what your geeky pursuit is, you should definitely always make sure that you're doing it in a way that's still fun for you. So if you are heading to Comic-Con this year, I would definitely give the San Diego Comic-Con unofficial blog a follow. Twitter's the best place to follow them, at SD_comic_con. You can head to the SDCCblog.com for all the news leading up to the conference. Follow Kerry Dixon at Kerry Dixon on Twitter. And if you are listening to this on the day it came out, which a couple of you are, I think, check out tonight. They're doing an SD Concast where they'll cover all the news. And then later this week, they'll be doing SD Concasts on Friday, July 5th, and on Sunday, July 7th, where they will be breaking down the schedule announcements from Comic-Con, room by room, panel by panel. Those are really key ones to check out. And then they'll also have a SD Concast on July 10th that provides a few special guests that they're teasing. And yeah, definitely give them a follow for the convention, and be on the lookout for Adventures of Prize Mule. PaceyCon on Sunday night is sounds like it's going to be a great event for anyone hanging around on Sunday after the con. And yeah, if you're heading to San Diego Comic-Con, let me know. It'd be great to see you there. I'll be there Tuesday through Sunday, and I'm not quite sure what my schedule is yet, but I will be there in the Doctor Doom, the hopefully finished Doctor Doom cosplay on Thursday, and then kind of wandering around. You know, I'll have a game plan once I listen to the SD Concast this weekend and put my game plan together. So let me know what your game plan is. Let me know you're coming, and hopefully I'll see you over there. And yeah, look forward to Comic-Con, and look forward to coming back with another episode soon. Thanks. Thanks so much for listening to the Entrepreneurd Podcast by Under the Capes. I hope this episode has helped motivate you to either start or grow your geek brands. If you liked the episode, I would love if you could give us a rating and a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to be listening from. And feel free to connect with us on social media, on Twitter at Under the Capes, on Facebook at Under the Capes, and on Instagram at Under the Capes Cosplay. Thanks so much, and have a great day.